Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the words that we have just heard and pray that we might not just hear them words that come out of a book, but words that speak your truth. Your truth to us as a people and your truth to us as individuals. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. In his book, The Workbook on Living as a Christian, the Methodist pastor, Reverend Maxie Dunham, writes, or tells the story. Hubert Humphrey was a former vice president of the United States. When he died, hundreds of people from across the world attended his funeral. All were welcome but one, former President Richard Nixon, who had not long previously dragged himself and his country through the humiliation and shame of Watergate. As eyes turned away and conversation ran dry around him, Nixon could feel the ostracism being ladled out to him. Then Jimmy Carter, the then serving U.S. president, walked into the room. Carter was from a different political party, as most of you know, to Nixon, and well known for his honesty and integrity. And he moved to his seat, or as he was moving to his seat, he noticed Richard Nixon standing all alone. Carter immediately changed course, walked over to Nixon, held out his hand, and smiling genuinely and broadly, embraced Nixon and said, "Welcome home, Mr. President. Welcome home." That incident was reported in Newsweek magazine. And the writer of the article said, if there was a turning point in Nixon's long ordeal in the wilderness, it was that moment and that gesture of love and compassion. The truth is, we like to remind people how much they let us down by telling them or shunning them. We find it hard to forget the wrongs done to us. And yet, we believe we are part of a religion of grace. We talk about the grace of God that continues to forgive us. But we find it easy to say, I'm not God, and I cannot forgive. But is that not a scapegoat so that we can hold our grudges? Doesn't that, in some perverse way, allow us to feel and express our righteous indignation? Obviously, I think it does. We hear in Paul's words to the church in Rome today, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. It's as simple and as complex as that. You know, we live in a world where everywhere we look today, we see some group of people demonizing another group. And the only good it seems to do is that it keeps the population from growing too rapidly. As the Christian essayist Daniel Clendenin writes, we ought to be becoming outcasts by befriending outcasts. Think about that. Becoming outcasts by befriending outcasts. Think of Jesus befriending the little tax collector, Zacchaeus. And his befriending him not only brought Zacchaeus into the fold, as it were, but Zacchaeus said if he had stolen from anybody, he would return it fourfold. Think of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh to tell them that they better straighten up. And Jonah knew that if he did go to Nineveh and told them, then the Ninevites would straighten up and God would forgive them and restore them. And he didn't believe the Ninevites were worthy of that. And so he went the other direction. And we know what happened to him. Recently, I came across a Palestinian pastor, Christian pastor, who once was the pastor of a church in Gaza. But because of the violence, he'd become a pastor of a church in Jordan. Concerning the recent violence there, he writes, in 1948, the State of Israel was founded and more than 700,000 Palestinians became refugees and 50 to 55,000 of them were Christians. They scattered around the world, some to Gaza and the West Bank. They went to Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. And many still live in difficult circumstances. He says, sometimes my brothers in the West say, the land is promised to the Jewish people. Get over it. But I would say, what would you do for the people who lost their homes and land in 1948? We have official documents to prove our ownership of the 17 acres my father's family lost. If we talk about a God of justice and love, how to explain this then? How do we explain this to the Palestinians who lost their homes and land and continue to in Israel? Extend love not just to one side, but both. He goes on to say, what I say to the church in the West is this. There are churches and believers on both sides. Let us focus on the kingdom of God among Palestinians and the kingdom of God among Jewish believers. All of us, Christians in the East and the West, belong to one body, the body of Christ. Bless the body of Christ in this region. We can be a blessing to each other and enrich each other's lives. May we have enough space in our hearts for the Palestinians, the Christians, and the Jewish people. Well, the bigger the circle, we do what we can to help people stop killing each other, to live side by side with love and respect. And as Yvonne mentioned, Oasis of Peace in Israel attempts to do just that with their School of Peace, International Peace, and with Palestinian Muslims, Palestinian Christians, and Jewish people living side by side. In Micah 6:8 of the Jewish scriptures, we hear, he has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. We live the words of Paul and Micah when we accept all of God's people. Yes, some people make it difficult, but that doesn't mean we should be kind. But that does not mean that we should not be kind to them or just for them. When it comes to Israel and Palestine, when it comes to ISIS, the Islamic State, to Afghanistan, to sending drones and fighter jets to bomb targets without concern for innocent civilians, we need to be careful as individuals and as a nation. As Reverend Dr. Susan Brooks Thistlewaite, a professor of theology at the Chicago Theological Seminary, writes, in the peace movement, we say, when you mirror your enemy, you risk becoming your enemy. It is not about the United States. It's not about our national security. It shouldn't be. Befriending outcasts and working for justice for all people is about a just peace for the world. But more importantly, about building God's kingdom on earth. And we can't build it if we keep tearing people down. It's about creating a new hope for all of God's people. That's why joining Christians and people around the world around the table is profoundly important, because in doing so, we are reminded that God is the God of all of us.